Hello and welcome back to Brooks Books. In this episode, I'll be reviewing One for the Murphys by Linda Mullany Hunt. And the featured author of this episode will be Chewy T. Sutherland. Also, I want to say that in 2 days of my first episode being out, I got 46 listens. Thank you so much. That's all I can say about this book. When I first read One from the Murphys after I got it from the book fair, I was amazed. I felt so many different emotions throughout the book, which sounds super sappy, but I really felt that way. This book is kind of smaller than most of the books I read. It's 224 pages. That's pretty small in my opinion, but it might be big for some of you. Time for the summary. Carly Connors has been through a lot. Living in Las Vegas with her mother has taught her to be tough, but when her mother hurts her leg, she has to go into foster care in Connecticut. Her foster family is the Murphys. They care about her. Can she make it through and make it back to her mother, or does she want to stay with the Murphys? As you know, Linda Mullany Hunt wrote this book, and she also wrote several other books, including Fish in a Tree and Shouting at the Rain. This book is not part of the series, but it's still amazing. Time for the first chapter. Sitting in the back of the social worker's car, I try to remember how my mother has always said to me, never show your fear. She'd be disappointed to see me now, shaking, just going out without a fight. The social worker, Miss McAvey, pulls out of the hospital parking lot while I play with the electric lock button on her car door. Lock, unlock, lock, unlock. She glares at me in the mirror and says, please stop that. The door needs to stay locked. I love it when people use the word please, but they sound like they want to remove your face. I'm not doing it because I'm going to bug her like she thinks. It's just that I can't keep still. And it beats jumping out of a moving car. My fingers play with my hospital bracelet. I stare at my name, Carly Connors. 13 letters. How unlucky can one person be? I think about my mother, still there, lying in her hospital bed like an eggplant. I wonder if she's conscious yet. I wonder why no one will tell me what's happening with her. I wonder why I can't seem to ask anymore. Gazing out the window, I count the trees. Connecticut is covered with them. But in March, the branches are still bare, like long gray fingers waving us along as we speed by. We're almost there, Miss McAvey says, taking a corner faster than I think any social worker is supposed to. I think back to sitting in my hospital bed, bunching the blanket up in my fists, asking her if they were going to send me to an orphanage. We don't call them orphanages anymore, she'd said, shaking her head and laughing. Like that was the point. Now I'm trapped in the car going to a place she's chosen. After what my stepfather has done, I'm terrified thinking about what kind of foster home I may land in, the things that could happen to me. I think of the Little Mermaid mural near the nurse's station, how the Tooth Fairy gave me the CD when I was 7, and my mother let me get up to listen to it when I found it under my pillow at midnight. We danced around the kitchen together. She sang, kiss the girl, she chased me to get a kiss. I never once ran away for real. You know, Miss McAvey says, pulling me back into reality, you're very lucky, Carly. You're kidding me, right? Her mouth bunches up. Well, she sounds like a ticking bomb. It's a nice home, a good placement. You are lucky. Guess I should buy a lottery ticket then. Someday, Carly, you're going to have to realize that being angry at the whole world only hurts you. I wonder if that isn't the point. We drive up to the house the color of dirt. Tall, thin trees surround it like guards on watch. There's a 66 on the mailbox, a palindrome. Miss McAvey opens the car door for me. This is a very nice family, Carly. She puts an emphasis on my name as if to give it me a warning, and this is the first time they've taken a foster child. I know this is her way of telling me to be a good girl. The walk up to the driveway feels like wading through glue. I've read books and seen movies. I know what foster parents are like. They smoke cigars and feed you saltines for breakfast. 1, 2, 3, 7, 8, 9. Standing on the porch, I count the leaves on the plastic wreath that hangs on the door. The bright redness of the flowers reminds me of the swirling lights of the ambulance. I have a vague memory of my mother screaming at me in my own voice trying to yell for her. And the taste of blood. I remember that. I remember the blinding pain surging through my body and then feeling nothing at all, wondering if a person like me would go to heaven. I jump when the door swings open and a woman smiles. She is the kind of person you never look at twice. Her hair is shoulder length, straight, and different shades of brown. Her blue V-neck sweatshirt matches her eyes, and she wears a silver leaf necklace and plaid pants. I mean, plaid pants? She holds out her hand. Hello, Carly. How nice to meet you. I'm Julie Murphy. I can't reach back. Even the name feels fake. Too perky. I wonder why she's happy to meet me. I wonder how much she knows, and I hope that I do not like her. Then this whole thing gets worse. Miss Murphy steps to the side. Behind her stand three boys. The smallest one runs over, stretching his hands up to his mother, and she swoops him up. I can't stay here. I'll probably here to be a live-in babysitter or a modern-day Cinderella. I'm gonna stop there, so what'd you guys think? I really like this series, and it really makes me want to read more reading that first chapter, even though I just read the book. Before I go on to our featured author, I do want to mention some warnings. There is physical abuse in this book, and the theme of the book is foster and that kind of stuff, so I recommend it for kids ages 10 and up just because it's a bit older. On that happy note, let's move on to our featured author, Tui T. Sutherland. She's a very popular author for writing the Wings of Fire series. For those of you who don't know, the series Wings of Fire is a 15-book series about dragons. I know that sounds kind of boring, but it's a really good series. I'll go into more depth of that series in another episode. She also wrote a series with her sister called The Menagerie, which is only 3 books, which is also really good. Tui T. Sutherland was born on July 31st, 1970, and she's still living today. She's married to her husband, Adam Sutherland, and she has 2 kids named Jonah and Elliot. You know what time it is. It's time for some fun facts. She was born in Venezuela, and then she lived in the Dominican Republic, and then she moved to Florida as a kid. Her first mentor was Jane O'Connor, who wrote the Fancy Nancy series. In 2009, she won $45,000 on the show Jeopardy as a 2-day champion. She has several pen names, which are names authors use instead of their own when they write books. She was Erin Hunter and wrote several books. She was also Rob Kidd and wrote a spin-off series to the Pirates of the Caribbean. She also wrote a couple of House of the Prairie spin-offs under the name Heather Williams. Well, that's all for Tui T. Sutherland. Thank you so much for listening and stay tuned next Wednesday for my next episode. Also, before I go, I got a comment on Apple Podcasts from my mom's friend Rihanna P. And she asked what were Roald Dahl's favorite things that he was buried with. I thought that was really interesting, so I looked it up. And the internet said that he was buried with chocolate, red wine, a power saw, and a snooker cues. Snooker cues is the stick used for playing pool. Apparently, Roald Dahl was a pool player. That's very interesting. Leave me a comment down below if you think it's interesting too. Well, thank you again for listening and talk to you next week. Bye! I'm off to go watch the new School for Good and Evil movie on Netflix. You guys should totally check it out. Bye again!